The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tavkuf Pei Aleph. In the Halachas of Chodesh Elul brings a remez. The pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Ani l'doidi v'doidi li, I am to my beloved, to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the Rabbeinu Shalom is to me. I go towards the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the Rabbeinu Shalom goes towards me. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. The Rashi Tevas is Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. It's one of two remezim that the Mishnah Berurah brings to Elul. The other one is Umal Hashem Alekecha Es Levavcha Ve'es Levav Zarecha. But tonight we're going to talk about the first one. The Pashtus is that the Remez is that El was a time of being close to Hashem. And the Pasuk of Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li is a Pasuk about being close to Hashem. But that's not good enough for us, because we know that everything in the Torah is 100% meduktik, is 100% exact. And there are many psukim in Tanakh that talk about closeness to Hashem. For example, there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim that says exactly the opposite. That says, Doidi li v'ani loy. My beloved is to me and I am to him. So there's an almost exact pasuk. But that pasuk is not Rosh Tevis El. But there are many other psukim. The beautiful psukim about the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shalom. What is it about this specific pasuk that the Rabbeinu Shalom b'chachmasai put into this specific pasuk of Remez to Chodesh Elul? What's unique about this pasuk more than any other pasuk? And once we discover that, we hope to discover, therefore, what the special avodah of Chodesh Elul is. Many, many times when we try to uncover the panemius of a certain time of the year, it helps to learn the parashias that we lay during that time very, very carefully. Even though it's two different cycles, the cycle of laying of the parashias HaShavua and the cycle of the calendar are two independent cycles, but the Siyata Deshmaya is, the way that it was set up, is that there's no coincidences. The time that the whole Klal Yisrael reads the parasha has a lot to do with that parasha. There's many, many instances that we've discovered and that Sfarim talk about throughout the year that the parashas HaShavua has remazim to the time of year. So we'll open parashas Kisavai, Shlishi. There's three psukim here. Hayayim hazeh. Hashem alaykecha mitzavecha la'asay sasachukim ho'ela v'yetz ha'mishpatim. On this day, Hashem commands you to do these laws, v'shamarta v'yosisa oisam, and you should keep them and do them, v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, with your whole heart and your whole nefesh. Es Hashem he'amarta hayoyim, you are, we'll get to the word he'amarta in a minute, you are me'amer, we'll call it, Hashem today. You did this thing called Ha'emarta to Hashem today. Li'ayis l'chol elikim, that he will be to you a God. V'lalechas bedrachav, to go in his ways. V'lishmar chukav, and to watch his laws. U'mitzvaysav, u'mishpatav, the three types of laws. V'lishmaya b'koyle, and listen to his voice. V'Hashem ha'emircha, and just like you did Ha'emarta to Hashem, Hashem did Ha'emircha to you. What did Hashem do for you? Li'ayis le'la'am, that you'll be a nation to him. Lam segula, a treasured nation. Kasher dibaloch, like he told you. That's the pasuk in Parshas Yisrei. Va'atem tiyu li'ma'am. Ve'yisem li'segula mikol ha'amim. V'lishmar kol mitzvayis, and to keep all his mitzvahs. U'lesitcha elyein al kol ha'goyim, and to place you above all the goyim. To be famous and praised, and to be a holy nation for Hashem. Okay, so first of all, in terms of the definition of Ha'amarta and Ha'amircha, a fascinating thing. There's a big machlokes what Ha'amarta means. Rashi brings that Ha'amarta is a lashon of Havdalah. It's a lashon of separation. I thought I thought that I had an amazing tushtel today. Because we learned about Metziah a few days ago, that if it was Imer Balabayas, means that Balabayas fired the workers, or if it was Imru Payalim, means that the workers quit their job. And the word Imer, or Imru, in the Gemara, the Rashi says over there, that it's a lashon of hafrasha, v'nizer achar, it's a lashon of separating oneself. So I thought that was an amazing thing, that we have Rashi and Gemara on the word Imer. Now it's again in Bava Metzia. It says that Imer is a lashon of hafrasha. And then we have the word He'emarta, same shayrish, in Chumash, that Rashi also says is a lashon of hafrasha. And it could be that it is the same word. Could be it's a right tushta. My only hesitation that we mentioned today, without getting too involved, my only hesitation is that Rashi over here says that Ein lehem eid mechiach b'kro, that there's no pasuk that demonstrates this taich. Rashi in Bava Metzia brings a pasuk of Ko'es b'amorayim tamri, pasuk in Iyav. So if Rashi if it's the same word, so how come Rashi in Kisavai says there's no pasuk for it, while Rashi in Bava Metzia brings a pasuk? I suggested an answer today. There's another answer. There's possible answers. Just I couldn't say it without being a siyata d'shmaya that the week that we're reading the Kriya, where Rashi says on He'emarta is a lashon of hafrasha, we learn the word imer in Gemara, which Rashi also says is a lashon of hafrasha. The Ramban learns that it's a lashon of raimimus of gedula. It's a lashon of to lift up, a lashon of royalty. And the Ramban says in Parshas Ki Tseitzei that the English word, or the Arabic word emir, as in an Arab emir, a prince, comes from the word he'emarta. So with these two translations, the idea is the same, that Moshe Rabbeinu says that you have singled out or raised up HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do his mitzvahs and to be his nation and so on and so forth, and he has raised you up also to make you his treasured nation and to bring you higher than all the Goyim and so on. So it's like the two psukim here of Hashem He'emarta and Hashem He'emercha stack up for us what we do for Hashem and what Hashem does for us. The pasuk of Hashem He'emarta is Li'o Yislachalei Leikim V'lo Leches Bidracha V'lishmar Chuka V'mitzvaysa V'mishpatav is a whole list of what Klal Yisrael does for Hashem. And V'Hashem He'emircha, Hashem lifts us up. And Li'o Yislachalei La'am Segula V'lishmar Mitzvaysa V'lisitcha Elyoin V'li'o Yischa'am Kadosh. Those are all the things. And if you count them, the Mefarshim point out that there are six things that we do for Hashem. There are six things that Hashem does for us. The question is, and this is something in Chumash Devarim, it comes up a lot, these type of questions. What is the purpose of these few psukim between Shlishi and Revi and Parshas Kisavi? What's the point? So we're the nation of Hashem. Yeah, we heard that already. We know that already. What's the chiddush? What was nischadish in this parsha? What is this the parsha of? I know the parsha of Tzitzis. I know the parsha of Shiluach HaKan. I know the parsha of Yifas Toyar or of Ben Sari Meir in last week's parsha. What's the parsha of Hashem HaEmircha? What's the parsha? What's it about? Does a mitzvah come out of it? Does a halacha? Does a chiddush? What comes out from that parsha? What is the point of this parsha? It's beautiful, it's poetic, it's inspiring, but what's the point? Read Parshas Yisro, you'll see basically that we're the Am Segula, that we have mitzvahs. Like, what was Pshita, Michael Mashalom, what's Nischadish over here? That's the general question. Now let's ask some specific questions. I feel bad that you don't have the Chumashim open. You have to take my word for it. And you check it out, you'll see the questions will bother you much more when you see it inside. But as I explain now, there's two psukim, and each of those psukim has a list. Okay? There's a list of our responsibilities to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a list of Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, let's call it, commitments to us. It's very strange then, seems strange, that on the list of Hashem's commitments to us, it says that we're going to keep all Hashem's mitzvahs. What is that? Is that what we're doing for Hashem, or is that what Hashem is doing for us? Is it? It's on both lists. It's an interesting thing. somebody is getting married or someone's starting a business. This is what I'm going to do for you, and this is what you're going to do for me. It's a little funny if the same thing is on both lists. I'm going to do such and such, and then on the list of what you do for me, I also do what I'm going to do such and such. It's on the wrong list. Lishma kol mitzvot, Hashem doesn't have to keep the mitzvot, we do. That's out. That should be on the list of what we do for Hashem. Another question. We know that there are different kinds of mitzvahs and it's split up. How are you doing, David? We know there are different kinds of mitzvahs and it's split up amongst the different general titles that we're familiar with. So over here we see in the pasuk that we tell Hashem, we commit, our commitment to Hashem is that we're going to be shomer his chukim, his mitzvahs, and his mishpatim. What are the differences between those three? We just said by Ma'ariv, Torah u'mitzvahs chukim u'mishpatim u'isanu limadita. Mitzvahs chukim u'mishpatim. What are the three things? So mitzvahs, that's a general klal of a kiyum of something that I'm doing because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to do it. It's a general klal. Anything that I do because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to do it is a mitzvah, lashon of tzivui, of command. Chukim and mishpatim are types of mitzvahs. Mishpatim are mitzvahs that even if Hashem hadn't commanded are logical. If someone damages, you should pay. If someone steals, they should return it. If you find someone's object, you should have Shabbos Aveda. Mishpatim. So it's a type of mitzvah that seems to be logical. Chukim are types of mitzvahs that are exactly the opposite of mishpatim, that are completely illogical. We don't have any sort for them at all. Like not wearing shatnez. We do not understand why we're not supposed to wear shatnez. We have no sort. Some chukim are mamish, it says that even Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand, like the Parah Adumah, that only Moshe Rabbeinu understood. Some chukim, there are reasons for it, but they're just very, very hard to understand. I'm not going to say it now, but there are makaris that any time you get to a really, really hard sugya or a hard mitzvah, it's also sometimes certain sukkim called a chayk. So we have mitzvahs as the general klal, like eating matzah on Pesach. That's a mitzvah. If Hashem hadn't commanded it, I wouldn't do it. If Hashem commanded, and I understand that I do it because the dough didn't rise in Mitzrayim and so on. I understand it. Mishpatim, I might have done even without a Kodesh Baruch Hu's tzivoy. Chukim, even now I don't understand. Chukim, mishpatim, and mitzvahs. Okay, so now we said there are two lists. There's a list of what I'm committing to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a list of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is committing to do for me. And oddly enough, as we pointed out before, on the list of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is committing to do for us, it also says that we're going to keep the mitzvahs. But over there, it doesn't divide it into three. Over there, it just says, all the mitzvahs. Over here, it divides it up. Chukim, mitzvahs, chukim, u'mishpatim. That would be wonderful to be able to understand the dictum of why the pasuk talks so much in the first pasuk and is so makatzer in the second pasuk. There's a balaturim on this pasuk. I'm not going to read the whole balaturim, but I'll tell you the general idea of it. The balaturim says, in Es Hashem Emarta Hayam, I told you there are six things, he divides it into six things. So he shows, this is the specialness of the Balaturim, he shows how each one of those phrases is connected one of the Siddurim of Shisha Sidre Mishnah. So in talking about what we commit to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a Ramis for Shisha Sidre Mishnah. And this is something that we can never forget, that when we find a Muslim like this in Balaturim, alright, I'll say it. There's the article about Balaturim that just came out, they just finished the Seth. So I was the editor on the first four volumes. The fifth volume I didn't have time anymore to edit for them. And one of the things that I tried very, very hard to keep writing in, my protest on different Pirushim, one of the things that I kept trying very hard to write is that they can't just be arbitrary pshatim in the Balaturim. It says Moshe, there's a remez to the Mordechai HaTzadik. What does Moshe do with Mordechai HaTzadik? They're both tzaddikim. They're a lot of tzaddikim. What's the kesher? It has to be vindictive. The Baal Turin, he wasn't like a half shikr one late Friday night by trying to put together a Muslim. It's the tour. It has to be vindictive. I heard from reliable sources the Baal Turin was written by Ruach HaKodesh in one night. One night the Baal Turin sat down. They say, I'm not 100% sure, but they say that it was a bar mitzvah present that he wrote for his own bar mitzvah as a present to his father, the Rosh. And he wrote it Ruach HaKodesh over one night. Baal HaTurim. Yeah, it's a remez to Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Why is it a remez to 10 other things? Where does Shisha Sidrei Mishnah come in here? Was anybody here thinking of the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah while I was talking until now? What's the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah? Okay, you move on in the Pesukim past Ravi, and there's an interesting mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that when you get into Eretz Yisrael, I once gave a chabura on that mitzvah, and there are a lot of protei dinim there that are very interesting, but tonight I just want to talk about the idea of the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that when you get into Eretz Yisrael, you should write the whole Torah in all 70 languages on a stone, on stones. Usually we write on cloth. It's an interesting mitzvah. You come to Eretz Yisrael, you should put up big stones and sit on them and you should write on them as kol divrei ha-Torah hazais. What's the pshat in this mitzvah? You're right. And furthermore, it doesn't just say when you go into Eretz Yisrael, I'm giving you a mitzvah to do. It says a reason. It says you should write the whole Torah, l'man asher tovei al ha'aretz, so that you should be able to come into Eretz Yisrael. That's the mitzvah that I'm doing, so that I should be able to come into Eretz Yisrael. What's the soul? L'man asher tovei al ha'aretz. Like we in Shema, right? So we say you should do the mitzvahs and so on. L'man yirbu yimeicha v'mei v'neichem, so that you should have arichas yam. Over here it says you should write on the stones so that you should come into Eretz Yisrael. L'man asher tovei al ha'aretz asher Hashem alekecha noisen lecha eretz zavas cholav udvash kasher dibur Hashem alekecha v'yisecha lach. Almost like this is you come into the United States, you have to show your passport. You have to get stamped. You come into Eretz Yisrael, you have to come with the stones, with the Torah on them. You come into Eretz Yisrael, that's what it sounds like. So what's the meaning of this? These are the questions for tonight. I want to start off by saying Ramchal and Derech Hashem. Ramchal discusses the Chet of Adam Arishan. Very, very interesting. Ramchal says like this, those who have learned Derech Hashem, for those who haven't learned Derech Hashem, the Derech Hashem organizes the hashkafa of the reason why the world was created and how it was created and the different parts of the world is beautifully set up in very, very short language, like the general hashkafa of the whole creation of the world. It's an incredible, incredible sefer. Short and incredible sefer. Worth the time 1,000 times over. So in the beginning of that sefer, he says that the truth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an Adam in order to give him Taif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Hanoh, like the Ramchal says in Mesil Sisharim, Nivra Adam Elulay Hasanagal Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give a person pleasure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a Baal Chesed. He created the world to do Chesed. He wanted to be Mahana people. But, and I'm not going to go into all the svaras behind it, but he says a chesed that you're just given and you don't earn is missing in its goodness. The best chesed is chesed that you earn. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam in a world where he has to choose between good and bad. And when he chooses good, then he'll get all the tov. And Dr. Ramchal, that the truth is that Adam Rishon was only supposed to make one good choice. He had one nisayon, not to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. one Nisayan. And he had no Yetzirah inside of him like we have today. He was completely pure, purer than we could imagine. And he had a Nisayan in front of him to eat from the Eitz Hadas or not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The Yetzirah came in the form of a Nachash from the outside and tried to convince him to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Had Adam said to the Nachash, "Go away from me, I don't want to listen to what you're saying," or had Chava said that to the Nachash, Adam would have been nichnas, would have entered immediately into Olam Haba, and the part of history that hasn't started yet, the part of history of being mekabel schar, of being close to Hashem, would have started immediately. Adam Rishon did not make that choice. Adam Rishon made a choice to move further away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After that, Dr. Ramchal, it's not so simple anymore. After Adam made that choice and the Eitz Hara attached himself to him, he fell very, very much. And the Eitz Hara attached himself to him. Now it's much, much harder for Adam to reach the Madrega that he needs to reach. And the way he sets it up, the Ramchal, and there are parts of this that I'm not explaining about Rikas. I want to pull out the part that's Negev for tonight. Hopefully there will be other opportunities to discuss other parts of it more. But Dr. Ramchal, that there's a two-step process now for Adam. First, we have to get back to the Madrega of Adam before the Chet. And then we have to make that Bechira Batayv and go into Olam Haba. Until we go to Olam Haba, there's a two-step process. Be Mesakin the Chet, and then make a Bechira, the proper Bechira, and go into Olam Haba. That's what Ramchal says. But he says another difference, and this is the main thing I want to bring out. Another difference between the nature of man before the Chet and the nature of man after the Chet. The Ramchal says like this: we know that every time we do a mitzvah, or every time we keep away from Aveir, we're adding Kedusha to ourselves. Now it's true that sometimes you see a very, very, very holy Yid. We sometimes, probably largely fooling ourselves, but maybe sometimes there's such a thing that we could see, oh, a Halig Yid. Gosh, you could see the Kedusha. I'm not so good at that, but some people, like, Mamash, they could see the Kedusha. But compared to what should be, it's nothing. What should be is that when, but like, the difference between, let's say, us and Rabbi Yashiv, there should be so much Kedusha pouring out of Rabbi Yashiv. There should be so, he should be a different person. He should be, like, not physical anymore. When someone does enough mitzvahs, every mitzvah he does makes him more spiritual. Every word of Torah he learns makes him more spiritual. How is it that people could learn Torah, do so many mitzvahs, and they remain 100% physical, basar, v'dam, just like everybody else, with the full laws of nature and everything? Dr. Ramchal, that's after the Chet. Before the Chet, every step towards Ruchnias that Adam took, immediately he became Nis'ala. Immediately he became more Ruchniistic.
So he couldn't fall?
Immediately.
He couldn't fall, it was just 8 feet.
I didn't say he can't fall, I'm not talking about that. But just this thing, that there was immediately, imagine you sat down to first Seder, and you finished Seder, and immediately you walked out, you were just a more spiritual person. Like, the laws of nature, everything was different. You were just a different person. Just a different person. You sat down to second Seder, by the time second Seder is over, you're a completely different person. You're more spiritual. Of course, we're all more spiritual after we do mitzvahs, but it's not something that we could generally measure, something we have bitachon that's there. We believe that there's more Kedusha there, but it doesn't come out, it doesn't break the surface for us. Adam Rishon before the Chet, it broke the surface immediately. It was immediate. Adam took one step closer to Hashem, immediately he was rushing towards Hashem. It was easy. Hashem just needed him to take one step towards him, and he would have gone into Olam Haba. Just say no to the Nachash, and that's it. He would have been in Olam Haba. Now Dr. Ramchal is not so simple anymore. Ramchal says, now we do mitzvahs and mitzvahs and mitzvahs and mitzvahs and mitzvahs and nothing changes. It's not the time. It's all in potential. It's all in the bank account. When the time comes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows all that Kedusha to be unleashed, from one second, there's going to be tremendous changes. But right now, when we live in this world, the changes aren't immediate. The changes don't come. We don't see the changes happening. The reason I'm mentioning this, Ramchal, is because I want to bring out the point that Adam Rishon, before he did a Chet, almost every thought that he had towards Kedusha was able to bear fruits immediately. But for us, as we know, it's a lot of hard work to reach Kedusha. It's a lot of hard work to feel the closeness to Hashem. It's not so easy. And that's because our heart and our Yetzirah and everything became so much thicker and so much more difficult to penetrate now that Adam Rishon did the chait. Shapsi is clear? Yum? Further in time. So time passes, and the Avos are born, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they raise 12 Shvatim, and they go down to Mitzrayim, and they come out of Mitzrayim, and they stand by Har Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to get the Torah, and 40 days later they do the Chet of the Eagle. The Gemara says in Shabbos that when Klal Yisrael stood on Har Sinai, they returned to the Madrega of Adam Rishon before the Chet. That means that when Klal Yisrael stood by Har Sinai, they were ready to reach full perfection. They were back to the Madrega of Adam Rishon before the Chet. And when they did the Egel, they fell once again back down to the Madrega of Adam after the Chet. That's what the Gemara says in Shabbos. So the Sfarim tell us that the Chet of Egel is like a reenaction, a repeat of the Chet of Adam Rishon. Once again there was an Adam, that was Klal Yisrael, and once again Adam fell. Now the Torah changed also. The Torah before the Egel and the Torah after the Egel were two different Torahs. The Torah before the Egel is called the Luchas Rishayinus, the Luchas that Moshe Rabbeinu broke. That represents the Torah of before the Chet HaEgel, the Torah of the perfect Adam. After the Chet HaEgel, Klal Yisrael was Mekabel Luchas Shniyos, a second set of Luchas, a different Torah for a different type of man, for a man of after the Chet. What's the difference between the Luchas Rishayinus and the Luchas Shniyos? So Rav Dessler writes about this. And Rav Dessler describes the difference between Luchas Rishayinus and Luchas Shniyos almost exactly like the Ramchal describes the difference between Adam before the Chet and Adam after the Chet. He says that the Torah before the Chet HaEgel was a Torah that the Yidden were a clean Muchan to be Makabel Torah. It was easy. We know there was no Shikcha, they would have never forgotten the very Torah. They would understand everything to its depths without effort. Almost like HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to them and was just pouring Torah on them. It was easy. After the Chet HaEgel, their hearts were more stuffed. Their hearts were harder. To understand Torah is not so easy anymore. To understand Torah, now we have to dig and work and sweat and chisel away, you know, with all our concentration, all of our efforts. V'yigisem goy la'asoik v'divrei Torah. Yogata umatzasa, with yigia, with hard work, in order to understand Torah. Just like Adam Rishon, before the Chet, the Pechira Batoiv was easy. After the Chet, Adam Rishon has to work hard to fight his Yetzirah to reach Kedusha. Before the Egel, Klal Yisrael, Kabbalah Satayra was easy for them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing there teaching them Torah. All they had to do, Psach Picha V'am Aleihu, open your mouth and I will fill it, Hashem says. Easy. After the Chet, they sunk down. Now their hearts are harder. Now it's harder for them to be Makabel Torah. That's what Rav Dessler says. And the mashal for it is the Luchas themselves. The Luchas Rishayinus and the Luchas Shniyos both represent the hearts and minds of Yidden that were Makabel the Torah. The Luchas Rishayinus, who carved out the Luchas Rishayinus? HaKadosh Baruch Hu carved it out. Ma'aseh Elokim Heima. HaKadosh Baruch Hu carved it out. Klal Yisrael didn't have to do anything. They came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Havanim. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote on, Etzba Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved the Divrei Torah onto the stones that were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the hearts of Yidden before the Egel. That they mamish, like, formed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who carved out the luchais after the Chet HaEgel? Moshe Rabbeinu. Psal lecha shnei luchais avonim karishayim. Carve out for yourself, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu. This time you have to make it. It's your hard work. It's your chiseling away. That Moshe Rabbeinu had to be miyageya, tremendous effort over those luchais. If you want to be zaycha to Torah, I'm not handing it to you on a silver platter. Psal lecha shnei luchais avonim. Make your heart ready. Carve it out. Work on it. Form it. Make your heart ready. After a chait, it's not so simple anymore. And then I'll write v'chasavti al haluchais etz hadvarim asher hayu al haluchais harishonim asher shibarta. Then I'll write on the luchais. Is this clear?
What do you mean Hashem will write on the luchais after Hashem?
In other words, just like the heart of a person after the ego, the heart is closed. The person has to work very, very, very hard to open his heart. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will teach him Torah. So too Moshe Rabbeinu has to work very, very hard to prepare these luchas. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the luchas onto these stones. Okay. It's something called Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's called Hashem Tzilcha. Hashem is your shadow. I'm sure everybody's noticed that the person's shadow obeys him completely. Wherever he moves his hand, his shadow moves with him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same way. Wherever we go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shadows us. Whatever we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the same. However we act, the concept of Mida Keneged Mida. However we act, HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Shemayim is acting the same way. Whatever we learn, that's the Torah that they're learning in Shemayim. Hashem Silcha. But we see from here, I put down over here, the words that I quoted are words from Reb Tzadik, but you could find similar concepts in all of the Sfarim. That is, you know what, I'm gonna wait with that quote. We see from here that before the Chet HaEgel, it's always necessary for Adam to open his mouth if he wants Hashem to fill it. It's always necessary. The class has to come to Har Sinai if they want Hashem to teach them Torah. A Yid has to open a sefer if he wants to learn. Adam Rishon has to do so, has to be Boicher Batayv if he wants to go to Olam Haba. The world was created, so Adam should do something. But before the Chet, a minimal action from Adam created a massive action from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After the chait changed, after the chait, the ikkar work was is the avoda of Adam. He has to work and work and work and work and work until he reaches a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will start being mashpia on him. We have to prepare those luchais, we have to engrave them, we have to cut them out, we have to form them very, 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 very industriously. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will write on them. Imagine, I was thinking tonight, just to try to give a mashal. Imagine a shadow, taka a shadow, or a reflection in a mirror. Imagine you're watching your reflection in a big mirror along a wall, and as you walk along the wall, the shadow, the reflection, walks with you. Imagine if you had a mirror that you walk, and your reflection stays over there, and then a few minutes later, your reflection comes and catches up. Imagine such a mirror. That's the difference between before the chait and after the chait. Before the chait, our reflection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was perfect. I pick up my hand, my reflection picks up its hand. Adam HaRishon moves towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kedusha starts raining down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately moves towards him. Klal Yisrael wants to learn Torah, immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to teach Torah. It's immediate. The relationship is complete. After the chait, there was a kilkul, a chisaron, a timtum alev. Now Klal Yisrael has to push and push and push and push and push until they break through They finally break through, and then the reflection runs to the other side of the room, and then it starts rushing down. All the siyata deshmaya and all the sweetness of Torah and all the kedusha comes rushing down. But sometimes it's not like before the chait that it was an immediate reaction, like Adam before the chait that he does a mitzvah and the kedusha is there immediately. Rather, it's work and work and work and work and work, and then we start seeing the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement. Zevi and I learned an incredible Rav Tzadik this week. Along these lines. Rav Tzadik says, in not so many words at all, Rav Tzadik says that a person does an Aveira and then he does Tshuva for that Aveira. So again, we make the mistake of thinking, we do Tshuva for the Aveira, and when I do Tshuva, the Aveira goes away. It doesn't work that way. And Avera causes tremendous damage. If you want the Avera to go away, you need to have to deshmai that the Avera should go away. It doesn't happen by itself. Tshuva is the part that you have to do. That's the Yigi, it's Hashem HaYamarta, it's your work, your hard work. That's what you have to do. You have to do, like being Miyagei on a Sugya. You have to do the Tshuva. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies you. And Rav Tzadik says that you see this from the Seder of becoming Tahor from Tumah. The Seder becoming Tahor from Tumah, the Seder is that a person has to go to the mikveh, whatever other things he has to do, and then he needs what's called Har HaShemesh. Anybody who knows anything about Tahor from Tumah knows such a thing called Har HaShemesh. Har HaShemesh means that even after a person goes to the mikveh, he has to wait until it gets dark. And then when it gets dark, then he's Tahor. So he says, what are you doing? You're not doing anything. You go to the mikveh, you sit and do nothing. And you wait until Hashem makes the sunset. What's the point of that? Someone became Tameh. So you make yourself Tahor. I understand. Bring a carbon, go to the mikveh, all the things that you have to do to become Tahor. Waiting for the sun to set. What kind of a... I'm being involved in becoming Tahor. What are you doing? You're not doing anything. Yeah, that's to show you that becoming Tahor is 99% of all the work you had to do, but then you have to wait for Hashem to set the sun. You have to wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's half. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do the ultimate makab apathish of being a Matara person. It's Hashem Ha'emarta v'Hashem Ha'emircha. We have to do our half, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu does his half. So we want to keep all the mitzvahs. We work very, very, very hard. This is after the Egel. Not so simple anymore. It's not one little bechira. It's very hard. We have a powerful Yetzirah and we have to fight him. It's very hard. We're working very hard to be Mekayim all the mitzvahs. It's Hashem HaMarta. We lift Hashem up and we commit ourselves. To go in his ways. To do all the mitzvahs of Hashem. But even after all that, will we really be able to be Mekayim the mitzvahs properly? Will we really be able to understand the Torah? Even after all that, but we need Ilmali HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ezra'ena Yachalai. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't help us, we're not going to be able to do the mitzvahs properly. Umimidvar Matana, we need it to be Nitin B'Matana. All our hard work, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give it to us. Ah, the next pasuk is the list of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. When you'll work hard and commit yourself to do all the mitzvahs, V'Hashem Ha'emircha, Hashem will lift you up, and it says, V'lishmar kol mitzvah, to do all his mitzvahs. So he said, one second, it's in the wrong list. Why does it say in the list of what Hashem is going to do for me that I'm going to keep his mitzvahs? The answer is that's the part of the schar, part of the beauty of what, after we do all the work that we to be mekayim the mitzvahs, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia on us, siyata deshmaya, that we should be able to do the mitzvahs properly. It belongs in both lists. It's in the first list, it's our hard work. It's yogata, our hard work to do the mitzvahs. And then in the second list, it's umatzasam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the atishmai that we should be able to do the mitzvahs. And the Chassam Sofer on that pasuk says, and the lishmar kol mitzvah, so the Chassam Sofer says, because el mali HaKadosh Baruch Hu ezri, ena yachala, he brings back Gemara and Kedusha. Yamin, how's it going? Clear? David?
I guess so.
What?
I guess so, yeah.
one more step and we got these psukim. And we have to move on to the Avonim. Every mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, every mitzvah that's part of the Torah, is connected to the highest madrigas of Ruchnis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to put a mezuzah on our door. It's not a ceremonial thing, it's not an ancient custom. It's connected to the highest levels of Ruchnis. Every mitzvah is like this. If I see some mitzvahs as being logical, even if I got this problem, I hadn't been mitzvah that I would do it. I see it's logical. If someone steals, they should give it back. I'm not seeing something in that mitzvah. I'm seeing that in order to live in this world, this is what I have to do. But I'm not seeing its connection to the highest levels of ruchnius. Matzah, I do see. It's easier to see. Because it's a completely not logical thing. Matzah doesn't fit into this world. Why would anyone eat matzah? Hashem said, for very, very ruchniistic reasons. We could spend weeks trying to figure out the ruchnius of eating matzah. But if somebody steals, he should pay it back. That's not ruchnius, that's gashmius. That's how to live in this world. If it wouldn't be that way, it would be impossible to live in this world. So mishpatim, the fact that I perceive mishpatim as being separate from mitzvahs, I perceive them to be a little bit lower than mitzvahs, a little more practical, a little bit less exciting, a little bit less spiritual than mitzvahs. It's mishpatim, it's like how to live in this world. It's only mishpatim, only mishpatim. Mitzvahs, that's like very, very holy. Hashavas Aveidah doesn't feel like the same Kedusha as eating matzah on Pesach or blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Those we associate with tremendous ruchnias. It's a logical, it's yours, I give it back to you. It's such a big mitzvah. It's mishpatim. Chukim, for sure, is different than mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, I see what the ruchnias of it is. Whatever extent I see. I see Pesach, I see Mitzrayim, Rosh Hashanah, blowing shofar, and so on and so forth. I see the ruchnius. Shatness? Okay, fine, I'll do it. I don't know why. I don't see anything. So when we say mitzvahs, chukim, and mishpatim, these differentiations are really out of a lack of understanding. Usually we say differentiations that are more understanding. It's out of lack of understanding. If we understood the reasons for all the mitzvahs and the ruchnius of all the mitzvahs, we would just call them all mitzvahs. But these mitzvahs, these aren't ruchnius, these are logical mitzvahs. And these mitzvahs I don't understand. So then I say there's mitzvahs, chukim, and mishpatim. To the extent that Hashem teaches me Torah, and the more I understand, the less of a gap there is between chukim, mitzvahs, and mishpatim. For example, if I'm zeicha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will explain to me more what shatness is all about, it'll become a little less chayk and a little more mitzvah. If I'll be zeicha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will explain to me what the real pnimius of the mitzvah of the Heshev HaGzeila is, and how it has to do with the Olam Haba and who knows what else, then it becomes a little less mishpat and a little more mitzvah. The more I'm zeicha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu explaining to me the pnimius of the mitzvahs, the less I'm differentiating between mishpat, mitzvah, and chayk. Because those differentiations are really out of lack of understanding of either the kedusha of it or the reason for it. So that's why, in the side of me working hard, as Hashem ha'emarta, I'm working very hard to try to do the chukim, the mitzvahs, and the mishpatim. I don't understand why mishpatim aren't mitzvahs, and I don't understand how mishpatim are mitzvahs, and I don't understand how chukim are mitzvahs, but I'm working hard, it's my effort. But in the Hashem ha'emircha, that's the part where it's nitin lai b'matana. That's the part where we get that siyata d'shmaya after working for 2 hours on a taisvus, and suddenly everything seems to make sense. It's nitin lai b'matana. Then we get a little closer. Every step of siyata d'shmaya we get in Torah, we get a little closer. A little closer to understanding that it's not just mishpatim, and it's not chukim that we can't understand, but it's kol mitzvaysov. It's all the mitzvahs of Hashem. So in the tzad of Es Hashem HaEmarta, it says separately, chukim, mitzvahs, mishpatim. But in the tzad of Hashem Emircha, Hashem teaching us, there it puts it all together. All the mitzvahs, it's all equally mitzvahs of Hashem, rooted in Olam Haba, rooted in Ruchnias, with beautiful understanding. Of course, it's all relative. The more Siyat Dishmaya I get, the more I understand. But the Torah wants to show us that the Siyat Dishmaya brings us closer to this understanding. So the pasuk that discusses the Siyat Dishmaya to be able to do mitzvahs groups all the different types of mitzvahs together. I left out some things on the sheet. I didn't write down to go back to the Havanim. I just want to go back to the stones. Okay, getting back to the stones. There's another place. We talked about other Rishon before the Chet. It was mostly coming from, mostly Siyat HaDishmaya. Mostly Siyat HaDishmaya. A little bit of effort from Adam, mostly Siyat HaDishmaya. After the Chet, a lot of effort from Adam, and then Siyat HaDishmaya. Before the Egel, Klai Yisrael is sleeping. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to Har Sinai, ready to teach Torah. A little bit from the other, mostly Siyat HaDishmaya. After the Chet HaEgel, Psal L'choshnei L'choy Savanim. A lot of work, as we know, as we had a long day today. As we know, a lot of hard work from Adam. And then we're Zoicha to Siyat HaDishmaya. There's another place that we can make such a differentiation. And that is life in the Midbar and life in Eretz Yisrael. The Midbar. The Midbar. It's hard to be close to Hashem in the Midbar. It's not so hard. Anani HaKavoid. No Elam Haza, no Parnasa, Mon falling every day. Nisan V'Nefloy is a Mon. Imagine if you saw Mon, you think you'd ever do an Aveira again? Mon falling every single day. A Nes. In exactly the right place, the right amount. It tastes like anything you think. Mon every day. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and no wars and no Parnasa and be'ikr liman atayra yaimun v'layla in the middle of Anani HaKavod with the fire at night. It's like it's come out living in Olam Haba. The Anani HaKavod ironing our clothes for us, our children never needing new clothes because the clothing just grow with them, and different life, never needing to go to the bathroom. It's just a ruchniyistic life. Is that, compare that to being in Eretz Yisrael, v'yosafta digonecha v'siyoshva v'yitzarecha, working the fields, going to war, building bridges, buying clothing. Which place is more effort on the side of Adam, and which place is not so much effort, the Siyat HaDishmaya is just pouring down? So it's Pashut. The Midbar, that's a place where, relative to Eretz Yisrael, it's true the Midbar is after the Egel, but relative to the life in Eretz Yisrael, relative to life in Eretz Yisrael, the Midbar is like it's just pouring Siyat HaDishmaya, a little bit of effort from the Adam, and the Siyat HaDishmaya is pouring in. It's easy to be close to Hashem. It's easy. Eretz Yisrael is a much greater challenge. Eretz Yisrael also has things about it that make it easy to be close to Hashem, but compared to the Midbar, compared to living in Anani HaKavod, it doesn't compare. So going into Eretz Yisrael is, and that's really what Yitzchak said this whole Kabur of the Kitzer in the beginning. Going to Eretz Yisrael is much more about the Avoida of Adam to engrave Ruchnias onto Gashmias. That's going into Eretz Yisrael. Just like the luchas represent the stone, the heart of a person, the Torah has to be engraved on. When Klal Yisrael is going into Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take stones and cover them with siv and engrave the words of the Torah on them. Because you're going into Eretz Yisrael. And I want to remind you, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, compared to the Midbar, is a place of you having to do the work to connect to Hashem. Not so cool. You're not going to wake up in the morning and find glittering mud in front of your house. And you're just going to be overwhelmed with gratitude to Hashem. It's not going to be that way. Sometimes you're not going to see. You're not going to see the hand of Hashem so clearly. You're going to have to take this physical, mundane life and inject ruchnius into it. When you woke up in the morning in the Midbar, you didn't have to inject ruchnius into your life. You woke up in a womb of ruchnius. You wake up in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have to inject. You're going to have to write on the Avonim the words of Torah, on stone, on physical stone. You're going to have to engrave words of Torah. And that's what it says. Write the Torah on the stone so that you should be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. So we said it's like showing a passport when you go in. It is like showing a passport when you go in. Write the words of Torah on stone so that the lesson will be engraved in you of the different world that you're moving into now. That you're moving into a world where you have to engrave Torah on stone. On physical stone you have to engrave Torah. It's a much more physical existence. It's a much more mundane existence. And if you manage to write the Divrei Torah on the stones, call it a skula or a lesson or a hakdama, to being able to actually in life, in physical life, being able to engrave the words of Torah. So engrave the words of Torah on stones so that you could go into Eretz Yisrael and be matzliach in avodas Hashem. So we lay in this parsha, Parshas Kisavo, this parsha of Es Hashem Ha'emarta with the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. V'Hashem Ha'emircha, and then the Siyata Deshmaya, V'lishmer Kol Mitzvah, the unbelievable Siyata Deshmaya that comes after our hard work. We lay in that parsha during Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul is the time, it's an amazing thing, how beautifully it works out, is the time that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to be Mekabel the Luchos Shniyos. The luchay shniyos were the luchays where you have to work hard if you want to be zayecha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyata Deshmaya. Elul, that's the time that Moshe Rabbeinu went out to be mekabel the luchay shniyos. That's Elul. So that means that Elul is a time of we're going to do the work and then we're going to be zayecha to Siyata Deshmaya. Form the luchais, and then you'll be zeichet to siyat deshmaya. That's what El is all about, and that's what we do in El, because Rosh Hashanah and Azar Simei Tshuva, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that when it says Dir Shuvas Hashem Bihimatzoi Kira'u Bihayisai Karev, it's talking about Rosh Hashanah and Azar Simei Tshuva and Yom Kippur. Search for Hashem when He is around. Call out to Him when He's close by. That's Aseres Yimei Tshuva, starting with Rosh Hashanah. So Aseres Yimei Tshuva is the time that Kadosh Baruch Hu is around. Do we wait for Him to come to us, like on Har Sinai, or do we go makdim? Are we makdim to go to Him? We're makdim to go to Him. That's what Chodesh Elul is all about. Chodesh Elul is all about is that Rosh Hashanah doesn't catch us by surprise. We're not sleeping when Rosh Hashanah comes. We spent a month being makdim pnei HaMelech. We're coming first. Isarusa de Lasata, Psalucha Shnei Luchai Savanim, Es Hashem Ha'emarta, Yogata, and then Matzasa. That's what Elul is. Elul is we're coming first. And that's the slichas that we say on Matzah Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. The first slicha that we say is B'maytzai Menucha on Matzah Shabbos, Ki Damnucha Tchila, we tell Hashem. We're preceding you. We're coming first. You're not catching us sleeping and knocking on the door. We're coming first. We're coming to knock on your door. Ki Damnucha. We're preceding to come in front of you. Because that's the zman of the Luchas Achrayinus, of the Luchas Shniyos. El is the time that Moshe Rabbeinu is mekabel the luchos shniyos, where Klal Yisrael realizes we did a chet, and now we have to do a lot of hard work before we're zayecha to siyata deshmaya. There's a pasuk in Shir Hashir I mentioned before that says Doidi li v'ani loy, my beloved is to me and then me to him. In other words, I don't need a substantial hisayrus before Hashem to start being mashpia Torah on me. Zok Shir Tzadik that pasuk is talking about before the chet ha'egel. Before the Chet HaEgel, Klal Yisrael is sleeping, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by Har Sinai. Doi di li, v'ani loy. The Iker is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Siyata Deshmaya. But then if you follow the Pesukim of Shir Hashirim, if you look them up, you'll see that between the Pasuk of Doi di li, v'ani loy, and the Pasuk of Ani l'doi di v'doi di li, talks about Klal Yisrael doing an Aveir, doing the Chet. And it says the whole story, and it's such an emotional group of psukim. It says that my beloved came to the door and knocked on the door and said, I want to come in. Right, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu calling out to Klal Yisrael. And it says that Klal Yisrael said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, I already got into bed. I don't want to get my feet wet, my feet dirty, coming to answer the door. I already took off my clothing. I don't want to have to get dressed again. I'm too lazy to answer the door for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was calling Pischi li achaisi rayosi yainasi samasi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was calling, open up the door for me. Klal Yisrael said, no, I'm not interested. And finally Klal Yisrael realizes, no, they are interested, and they go open the door. V'daydi chamak over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left already. That's Golus. By the time we were ready to open the door, and we did that tshuva, and we realized that we made a mistake, that the Churban Beis HaMikdash happened already, or the Egel happened already. A few psukim later, it says, Ani l'daydi, v'daydi li. We recognize a new relationship. That if we want to be zeichet to siyata b'shmaya now, and post the Egel, post Churban Beis HaMikdash, post Chet Adam Arishan, it has to be first Ani l'daydi. First I have to prove myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to be dedicated. I have to do my part. And then v'daydi li, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to me. I was so happy to open a Sassanis a few days ago and see that he says, Es Hashem ha'emarta v'Hashem ha'emircha, he says. Because the Hisairus from below causes that there should be a Hisairus from above, exactly like we explained. And he says, and that's what the Pasuk says, Ani v'daydi v'daydi li. In two lines, the Sassana said this whole Chabur. That's what the Pasuk says, Ani l'daydi v'daydi li. This brings up a big challenge in Avodas Hashem. A very, very big challenge. El is a zman mesugal for Ani l'daydi v'daydi li. That what I do for Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. But the fact is, overall in life, that very, very often, we feel like we're Ani l'daydi, Ani l'daydi, Ani l'daydi, Ani l'daydi, and we don't feel like we see the v'daydi li. We're trying to understand, trying to shtay, and it doesn't seem to be opening up. Yogata, 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 and we don't seem to have the matzah. It says al tam. We don't see the matzah. So there's a letter from Rav Hutner. Rabbanan says like this. We say in Shema, you should take the words of Torah, you should put them alav avecha, you should put them on your heart. Rabbanan says, on your heart? You should put them in your heart. What does it mean you should put them on your heart? Alav avecha should say, bilv avecha, should be in your heart. When you say remember something, we want to say we want to remember something, to always remember, you say to be shomer it, bilivai, you know, be shy me nothing in your heart. I should put the words of Torah on my heart? What does that mean? I should put it in my heart. The Rebbe says, for a heart to open, that takes tremendously after Dishmaya. Very often we feel like our hearts are closed. We don't feel like we're trying to open up during davening. We're trying to become close to Hashem. We're trying to feel that motivation to learn. We're trying to feel that strength over the Yetzer Hara. It's not so easy for our hearts to open up. And it's Siyata Deshmaya. That's the V'day Dili. That's the Lishmar Kol Mitzvayisov. That's the V'Hashem HaEmircha. That's not our job, Rav Hutner says. Our job is with full emunah and bitachon that it will be Matzasa, that it will be Matana, that we will eventually see the V'day Dili. We have to put the Divrei Torah and Tefillah and all of our wisdom al levavecha. We have to put it on our hearts. We have to make it there. It has to be there. And it will be there. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the Siyata Deshmaya, it's not like before the Ego that we see it immediately. It's like the mashal that I gave you of the reflection that I moved across the room, and it jumped, and I'm by a special mirror that it takes a while till my shadow catches up with me, or till my reflection catches up with me. I have to put the words of Torah on my heart. When I'm Zeich, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open my heart, the words of Torah will be there and they'll sink in. How to make my heart open? I'm waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to open my heart. But I still have to keep working with dedication, with strength. An amazing thing, it says that for all the years that Yosef HaTzadik was in the Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avinu didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. You know what that means, that Yaakov Avinu didn't have Ruach? Can you imagine Yaakov Avinu without Ruach HaKodesh? For 22 years, Yaakov Avinu did not have Ruach HaKodesh. And we don't think about it, we just think 22 years, we don't think about it. 22 years, it's a lifetime. For 22 years, Yom Kippur, he didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, and on Shavuos, he didn't have Ruach HaKodesh, and he just didn't have Ruach HaKodesh for 22 years. Now we know that it was a limit in how much Simcha he had because of Yosef HaTzadik, but you think he wasn't Mekayim Yivduos Hashem b'Simcha? You think he didn't learn and harava and daven and work hard, and you think he didn't do all his avodas Hashem to the fullest extent for 22 years? It's not like he had never had, not like us. Like, oh yeah, I also went 22 years without having Ruach HaKodesh. You never had Ruach HaKodesh, but Yaakov Avinu first goes 100 years with Ruach HaKodesh, and then no more Ruach HaKodesh year after year after year after year, and he never knows if it will come back. Ani l'daydi. I have emunah. They say this about Moshe Rabbeinu also. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the Yidden out of Mitzrayim, 10 Makas, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, amazing Matan Torah, brings down the Mon. And for 38 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't appear to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. People don't realize that. For 38 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not appear to Moshe Rabbeinu. A Navi, he was mamash panim al panim, but for 38 years, I think it was 38 years. I think it was 38 years. I forgot the exact. I think it was 38 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of the Chet of the Meragvim, whatever the reason is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not appear to Moshe Rabbeinu. You think Moshe Rabbeinu served Hashem with less simcha? You think he danced with less Islam as that simcha style? HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to me, he doesn't appear to me. That's not my job. It's not my job to keep track of such things. I have to do my Avodas Hashem. I have to do my Es Hashem HaEmarta. I have to do my Ani L'Daydi. I have to do my learning and my davening and keep going at what the simanim and kedusha things that I'm gonna and the emotions that I'm gonna feel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's department. This is such an important thing because very, very, very often a person, everybody knows that sometimes you can sit down to daven and it's mamash like poislam leisharei gan eden. Mamash, you feel so connected. And sometimes people sit down to daven and you just feel like it's a brick wall. You just feel like you're talking to a brick wall. You push it, can't connect. Or a yantif, or a Shabbos, or a Seder. You just feel like you can't. And sometimes you could connect, and sometimes you can't connect. And people get all worked up about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. We have to do our job. Ani l'daydi. I'm devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes my heart is open. Sometimes it's not open. Sometimes I see the Siyata Deshmaya more. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting to give me the Siyata Deshmaya, whatever his Deshmayas are. Sometimes I'm able to understand things quickly. Sometimes I'm not able to understand. Sometimes the davening goes geshmak. Sometimes it doesn't go so geshmak. I don't have to focus on that. I have to focus on what I have to do. I have to focus on Hashem HaEmarta. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu focus on Hashem HaEmircha. But Lemaisa, that is the school of Elul. I was wondering. I don't know if this is true or not true. I was wondering. It's just an interesting thing. I find it very, very interesting that the word Elul is El, two, and then Loi facing the other direction. El, Loi, two, and to him. It's almost like an Ani L'daydi V'daydili in the word El. I don't know if that's true or not. But that is the segula of Elul that we should be zeicha to taka see it. If the month of Elul is Ani L'daydi V'daydi Li, then that means that this month has a special segula and a special kayach and a special avodah that we could take steps towards the Rebbeim, and we will taka be zeicha to see the V'daydi Li.